Good afternoon. It's 12:33 p.m. and you're listening to PMC Live, our call-in show with local officials from Petersburg Medical Center. I'm Olivia Rose, and joining me here today in Studio One, we have three guests. We have PR and Community Wellness Manager Julie Walker. Hi, Julie.
Hi.
And we have Tracy Vinson, the Nursing Supervisor and CNA Course Coordinator at PMC. Hi.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good. And we have CEO Phil Hofstetter. Hi, Phil.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for being here, guys.
Yeah.
And for any listeners at home, if you're listening and have a question, you can call our station at 907-772-3808. All right. I guess we can start with you, Phil.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So I see you have a few updates for us. Yes, Lou, do you want to just take it away?
Yeah, sure. So we have a board meeting tonight. The primary things probably on my radar are the federal cuts in the budgets, that conversation with Medicaid. We still don't know a lot of detail on that. So a little bit of a stress for us just trying to forecast and know what's going to happen, and the impacts to us locally related to that. And I talked about that last time quite a bit, and we had Jared Kosin from the Alaska Hospital and Healthcare Association on talking about that. So no real new updates related to that.
Okay.
Just sort of monitoring, wait and see, and hopefully we can we won't have many impacts related to us, but we are worried about it for sure. So that and then locally, or at least statewide, monitoring the legislative session and related to a bill that's that was supported and initiated by the Alaska Hospital and Healthcare Association in collaboration with Division of Insurance and payers, related to prior authorization, which is actually pretty significant because it's one of the things that we run up to in the healthcare world related to health insurance and authorizations for services. Prior authorizations have been a little bit tricky. Some payers are really good at initiating that. Others, unfortunately, use it sort of as a tactic to delay in care. And so very pleased to see support at the state for that and in sort of a team effect making that happen to improve some of those.
Yeah. Prior authorizations, I mean, they can take anywhere from, days to weeks to go through?
Yeah, I mean, you hear a lot about that in the news these days where, unfortunate delays where it's, even though medically appropriate decision, and those can lead to really unfortunate circumstances. And there's a lot of stories online. In New York Times did a feature on that. CMS has addressed that as a issue. Centers for Medicare and Medicaid has recognized that as an issue in the American Hospital Association, in addition to the Alaska Healthcare and Hospital Association, have all recognized that and have been working on some solutions. And so we're feeling pretty good about that from the association level and seeing some progress in that realm.
Got ya. Yeah. So, I mean, I looked briefly into this bill. I think what it's trying to do is, I mean, the issue, would you agree, is with prior authorizations, it kind of delays medical care that people are seeking, because to get insurance coverage for that, they have to get this thing called a prior authorization, right? And that has to go through a few hurdles to go through to get insurance coverage for that.
Yeah. It's a classic, good intention to make sure it's medically appropriate. So it starts off with good intention. And then as things evolve, they can be used to either delay or, not even intentionally, but it could just take a long time to get authorization. And so those things just, those administrative burdens are things that we're trying to improve and have appropriate efficiency. So it might not even be something where like a payer or an insurance company is necessarily against. It just takes a while to get authorized. Mm-hmm. And part of this bill is to put some parameters around the authorizations to do it within 72 hours, as opposed to you know, 5 days plus for, or, you know, 7 days or whatever the issue is.
Right. Yeah. Like 24 hours to 72 hours. And then I think I saw that if it doesn't get, like, if the insurance company doesn't approve the prior authorization or, like, address it at least within those 72 hours after that, it would be automatically approved. I think I saw that when I was looking into it, but.
Yeah, there might be some elements of the bill. It depends on how it lands through there. But yeah, there's some teeth around it and accountability built into it. And what's nice about the bill is that the payers were at the table as well helping with that. So we are hoping there won't be much opposition around it.
The payers?
Payers, yes, like Premera and Division of Insurance. And so that's the state. So they have actually, they work together and making some solutions around it, yeah.
Okay, cool. What does this kind of look like on a local level for PMC?
Well, locally, on a day-to-day, you would say you have an appointment in Anchorage for an MRI. This would be a good example. And you're waiting for your insurance company to get authorization, and you have an appointment made, and the authorization doesn't come through in time, and then you have to cancel and reschedule the appointment. Happens a lot, unfortunately. So that's just a very basic example. So it basically delays care, delays appointment, and you're constantly. And then a lot of our staff, our PMC staff, are on the phone with insurance companies to work through the insurance authorization process. Mm. And that becomes very frustrating because they could be on the phone for hours for one patient, you know.
Man, so, hours.
Hours, sometimes more, a lot, sometimes a lot more.
So. Oh, man, yeah. I mean, just such a time-consuming process when medical care should not be delayed, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, and you mentioned an MRI. It triggered a memory of, like, the hospital project. We have an MRI machine coming.
Yeah,
and
so,
you have some updates on that for us.
Yep. So the work building, which is the Workforce Education Resource Center, is moving on time and it's on budget. And we just submitted our certificate of need application for the MRI to the state. And so that's making its way. And that's a requirement to provide that service. And yeah, all pieces are in play and moving forward, and we're hoping for a summertime. I would call it a soft opening, just, you know, opening, and then we'll have a more structured grand opening for the community and that kind of thing. But as far as I last heard, everything still seems to be moving forward with that. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess how's the budget looking?
Everything's still on budget. Again, with a lot of the federal things occurring, we want to make sure, and we're worried that we have access to the funds that were appropriated. And so far, we haven't had any issues, and everything is looking okay for moving forward.
All right. Okay. For the work building, at least, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Is the hospital, main hospital building, is that kind of a different story? Do you have any updates for us on that?
Yeah, it's a challenge. It's a challenge in this environment. And, obviously continue to do advocacy at the state level. We know that I met with the legislature earlier this February, or January, February, with the legislative fly-in. And have been also in touch with many delegates on trying to, look at capital funding. And it's just it's a hard place to secure funding, So definitely a major concern, but constantly advocating. So it's something that no forecast on at this point.
Gotcha. Okay. All right, so I guess for right now, we're just kind of sitting and waiting, and of course, you say, like, pushing advocacy for this funding.
Right, so the hospital is a big project, and as I mentioned from day one, it's always going to be a project that's in phases. I feel very fortunate that we have achieved site preparation, a development, and a building that's going to be open and operational in this summer, and that's, to me, pretty substantial as far as getting most of the phases moving forward. And so this, I don't know if it's a last phase or it is a couple of phases built into it, were related to the next funding for the main hospital. But from that standpoint, I would say we're very fortunate to be where we are right now. And we're just going to continue to advocate. I mean, as I've reported many times, the runway for the existing building is just it's just a matter of time before there's some, you know, catastrophic issues there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, is there anything about that you want to touch on about the current building that we're working out of?
You know, our nursing, Tracy's laughing over there. Yeah, they deal with the reality of the day-to-day issues. I mean, I've reported out on that many times, on some of those, plant facility, sewer, water, electrical loads. I mean, those are all the things that I've mentioned quite a bit on issues. I mean, we reported out on the burst pipe that was over an inpatient room, Tracy, right?
I feel like there's just not enough duct tape
yeah.
to go around.
Oh, no.
That's my comment.
Yeah. So,
Do you mind elaborating?
Oh, it's like you said, burst pipes and, it's kind of an ongoing thing. So constantly watching out for things and being careful and,
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Donate duct tape to PMC,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. So anyway, that's sort of the status on those pieces. And I don't want to consume too much of the time. Maybe we should jump over to Julie to...
Oh, sure. Let's pivot.
Oh,
let's pivot
Tracy.
To Tracy.
Tracy
yeah,
first.
Tracy,
right.
the right. nursing supervisor and CNA course coordinator. I believe you're here to share about some CNA
yeah.
opportunities.
So we have a wonderful CNA program. It's been, gosh, I don't even know how long it's been going on, for years and years. So we have two different programs. We have a high school program that's a year-long program for juniors and seniors. We have a class going on right now, and so in May they will complete their program and hopefully before the end of May, before graduation, take their state certification exam and become officially CNA. So those high school students, it's open for juniors and seniors, and we do it every other year. So our next cohort is in 2026-2027. And right now we have five students. They're doing great, having a great time. They learn for the CNA program in general, they just learn how to do some basic patient care.
Okay.
They work in acute care, they work in long-term care, and part of the program, in order to be eligible to take the state exam, is they need 80 hours of skills and clinical time combined, and 60 hours of lecture time. And some of that lecture time includes online stuff also. So it is a very busy program.
What are kind of the skills that CNA...
Okay, so some of the skills that they learn is how to give a patient a bed bath. They learn how to brush their teeth, how to clean their dentures, wash their hands properly. They learn how to transfer the patient from a bed to a wheelchair, or with a mechanical lift if the patient is bedbound. They learn how to do that safely. we have a few different kinds of lifts depending on the patient's ability. They learn how to walk a patient properly with appropriate safety precautions. Let's see, there are so many skills. There's like 22 skills in the book, but they learn more than that. But just for the state exam, there's 22 skills that they learn, and they get tested on five. And of course, it's random. They have no idea what they're going to get tested on. I don't even know what they're going to get tested on. I'm not privy to that information. But all the skills start, the test starts with them washing their hands. And then they work on each other. Like one student will be the patient while the other one is the nurse aide student. And then they switch out. And so they have a really good time. We have a book with 60 chapters, so we go over 60 chapters in the whole school year for the high school. And then we also have an on-the-job training program through the hospital, and that is a five-week program, so it's very busy. It's considered full-time, so they do get paid to train. It starts at a little over $20 an hour. Once they get certification, their pay jumps up to $22 an hour. Okay. So a little over $22 an hour. And so it's the same program. It's just in 5 weeks. So very busy, busy program.
Hmm. What would you say the goal is of having this kind of this program, this opportunity?
Well, we like to grow our own here in this community. Mm-hmm. And I have, I've been here in Petersburg for a little over 8 years. And I think I've trained most of the CNAs on the floor now. So mm-hmm. we retain a lot of the CNAs. And what's great about the high school program is that the high schoolers can come back on their breaks, from school, or even if they, want to do that first before going into college. And it's a good baseline to learn a little bit about nursing and seeing if that's something that they want to do, if they want to further their education and get their nursing degree or be a doctor even, or whatever they want to do. But it's just baseline. And if they, and I tell them all, this is not for everybody. So if this isn't for you, it's okay. It's just, but it's good for them to know if this is something that they want to do so they can make a better decision.
Hmm. Okay. So it sounds like with this next cohort coming up, we have a graduating class and then we have this next cohort. What are the kind of qualities that you're looking for in potential prospective CNAs?
Well, the biggest thing is, like I always say, I can't train you to care. I just want people that are compassionate about taking care of people and just have a basic moral character of wanting to be a good person and treat people they would want to treat their family members, how their family members would want to be treated. And most of my students are great. They're all of them are great. The five people that are finishing the program this year, they're all doing really great. They're having a good time. They're kind of timid when they first get in the program because they don't know what to expect, but mm-hmm. they think that they want to do this and they get in the program and they're real quiet at the beginning of the school year. And then toward the middle, their personalities come out more and they have more time or more fun and they loosen up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So it's good to have fun at work.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Awesome. Is there anything else that you would like to mention about that?
No, I just want to say that I have three students that just passed their state certification exam in this month, so very proud of them. And they work really hard to get this, and they all three of them are working as CNAs now. So,
oh wow,
yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. So all three are working for PMC.
Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you have the inclination that they want to stick around?
I think all three of them do, actually.
Well, that's great. Yeah. I love that sentiment of growing your own here in our community here in Petersburg. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, very excited. They're doing a great job.
Yeah. I guess we can finally pivot to Julie here, community wellness and PR manager. I guess we have a few minutes. I see there's a PMC got a logo refresh.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I didn't put your mic on. Here you go.
Okay, how's that? Is that better?
Perfect.
We're pretty excited to unveil a newly updated and refreshed logo. So we've been working on it for a few months, and it's been something that we've been kind of aiming to do to modernize our visual identity and while staying true to our mission and vision. We had a lot of input from staff and board members, and it was really important to us that we kept the original logo and the blue colors. But our previous logo was designed over 20 years ago by Grace Wolf when she was in high school. So she won a contest in high school. And I approached her back when we started this project to see if she would be interested in updating the updating and refreshing it. And she's obviously grown a lot as an artist, and she was really excited at the opportunity to do that. So we worked with her and a graphic design company called Element, who's based here in Alaska, and just came up with a little more contemporary compass, and it features Devil's Thumb in the middle, which obviously is an important landmark to us in here. That was really intentional because that shows kind of our signifying the deep connection and commitment that we have to our community. Mm-hmm. So that was a really neat addition that Grace really came up with, and we were very excited about. I think this project has just reflected our growth, and we wanted to kind of raise the look and feel and match our professionalism and our logo and our visual identity. So yeah, community members should start seeing the logo. We've been using it just starting in March, so you should start seeing it across our signs and our online things and marketing materials. It's been quite a process, and it's amazing how many places your logo is once you start the project and you tell everybody, okay, you need to switch over the logo to the new one. How many logos come out of the woodworks of where they all are in your building after 20 something years? Oh my gosh. Oh, we have to change that too. Oh, we have to change that too.
Start noticing ones you haven't.
Yeah. You've never noticed that there's a logo on that until now. And so over the past month, we've been, really working hard to make that shift, but you'll probably still see the older one for a little while longer in some places, mm-hmm. as we continue to update it.
That makes sense.
but yeah, it's a really neat logo. So both Tracy and I are sporting new gear wearing the logo.
Oh,
and,
awesome.
So pretty excited about that.
New merch.
Yeah, we actually created a merchandise store.
Oh, really?
So our staff and even community members can go on and buy PMC logo shirts or hats or cups or, you know, whatever it may be. And really wanting to people be proud of the logo and proud of what we do and wear it. You know, I think we are proud of what we do. And so having a logo that really shows our commitment to our community and our professionalism is something that people want to wear at work. So
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yeah. It kind of signifies a new chapter, I guess.
Yeah. And a new chapter, we are entering a new chapter with a new mm-hmm. facility. So the timing was really perfect as we were, you know, still in the kind of designing phases of facility, and that's when we started this project, and it was like, oh yeah, that's just the perfect timing to do this. So the new work building will feature the logo on the signage, and we'll be updating things within the current facility as well.
Awesome. I guess we have a few minutes if you want to also talk about the fall prevention programs.
Sure. I just wanted to give a few updates of some of our community-based programs that we're offering. So this is fall prevention programs. So we have two programs that are grant-funded, and they just started up again. So now's a really good time if people have been hearing about them and maybe thinking they might want to join. Now's a good time because they just started again. So we have one called Tai Chi Quan, Moving for Better Balance, and that's a form of Tai Chi. That's a 24-week program, and it's been shown to improve strength and balance and mobility and ultimately reduce the risk of falling. So they mm-hmm. just started this round. It's in their second week, so it's still a really good time to join. It's free, and it just features slow, controlled movements that are, you know, relaxing for the mind and body. And everyone's welcome. It's all levels. They modify the exercises. They can be done seated. And again, it's free. So it's been a great program. We've had really good attendance so far. So I think this is the third round that we've done. So we're in the second year of this grant, and it's the third offering of the class. That's on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 10 a.m. at the Midcoff Dance Studio. And people can just show up and give it a try. So we have that one, and then we also have a bingo size program, which is a kind of a combination between bingo and exercise, which a lot of people are like, what? How does that work? So the way that this works is it's over the course of 10 weeks, and when you go to a bingo size class, you're going to play bingo. So imagine you're going to do five rolls, you know, five numbers are going to be called, mm-hmm. and then you're going to do 3 to 5 exercises, and they're going to be from 30 seconds to a minute each. And then you're going to go back to bingo. And then you're going to go back to exercise. And okay. when we do the exercises, they play really great music. So we have this curriculum that's developed or that we've purchased and are utilizing that has the music all picked out. And it's songs from the 60s and 70s that everybody just loves. So it kind of hits the target audience of this program. Really fun. We give out prizes. We have a lot of fun together. This group is really... really fun group, and that's on Wednesdays and Fridays at 10 a.m., and that's run in partnership with the Parks and Rec, so that's in the Parks and Rec activity room.
They do it in long-term care.
We also have been implementing it in long-term care, which our residents love, and the Mountain View Manor has been implementing it as well. So it's kind of growing and is really fun.
Hmm. Yeah, I think I saw a stat in the hospital board agenda, too, mm-hmm. like... something like over 200 participants, which was quite a significant percentage of the kind of the goal for meeting the grant,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, we've had a lot of people come and try the program. That number, you know, you can kind of... So if it's a 10-week program and we count somebody that does the program once, and then if they repeat the program, we count them again. So they're not all 200 individual people, not per se, but we've had a lot of people join this program. And even if they only come once and check it out, that's still great. And it's been a lot of word of mouth, so they both continue to grow. And yeah, and then the Tai Chi is also offered online, remote. So if people are interested, they can reach out to our community wellness office, or they can go to our websites. They're all posted on our community classes page.
So, okay. That's cool. Yeah. Is there anything else that you'd like to emphasize about that?
No, just that it's a good time to join because they both just started up, and that there are free programs, and give it a try.
Okay, very cool. I have one last thing for, I guess, Phil, if you want to jump in here.
Sure.
I just saw again in the report that March 30th is Doctor's Day. I mean, do you want to give a little shout out to the doctors at the bottom of the list there?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, I don't need the handout for our wonderful physicians. So, you know, every discipline has sort of a day or a week dedicated to their profession. We see Nurses Week is a notable one, but Doctor's Day, of course, our wonderful physicians, Dr. Hess, Dr. Morgan, Dr. Burt, and Dr. Hulebeck, of course. I want to shout out to them on all their service, the dedicated service to our community, and being here. It's just they're wonderful people, wonderful asset, and talk about a great empathetic group in our community. So
we have a resident too.
Oh,
Dr. Whitney Wood.
Oh, of course, Dr. Whitney Wood is here, who has some history with PMC, and her dad was a physician as well here, I believe, long before my time.
Yeah, it was way before my time, too. I just remember when she was here before, and now I'm like, wait, you're a doctor now? What?
It's very exciting that PMC is part of a training program through University of Washington, and we get, as a location, we get residents that come up and do rotations, and sometimes they're have ties to Petersburg, and sometimes we want them to come to Petersburg.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So, definitely a shout out. And then, of course, there's Dr. DeCillo still affiliated in as locum every now and then, even though he's sort of retired out there. And we also have Dr. Heyer doing telehealth. So shout out to all of them that work with PMC.
Yeah. Happy Doctor's Day, yes. March 30th, I guess. Well, that's about all the time we have today for PMC Live. That was a conversation with Phil Hofstetter, Tracy Vincent, and Julie Walker. So thank you, everyone, for joining.
Thank you.
Yeah, PMC's board meeting will air here on KFSK later today at 5:30. So now it's almost 1:01, and next we'll have Street Beat with Steve Barry.